This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
The danger of the acquisition of bad characteristics, of bad midas, one sees from Chazal throughout and in Tanakh is enormous, and that the Torah goes out of its way to keep us away from any actions which could reinforce bad characteristics within our personalities. And that even when one could say that Sof Kol Sof it's L'Shem Shemayim and this and that and the other, still the Torah goes out of its way to keep us away from it. Because sometimes, even if the action itself is not, under those particular circumstances, is not that abhorrent, sometimes we find that Chazal don't allow it just because it gets one used to behaving in a certain way which is not of your Torah. One of the midas which are most abhorred by Chazal is the midah of leitzonus. Leitzonus is a difficult word to translate. Sometimes we translate it as a cynic, which is fairly accurate. A leitz is a person who makes things cheap, sort of who cheapens things. We'll understand more of the mahus of a leitz, the quality of a leitz, a little bit further on. And leitzonus, as we'll see, is something which is considered undermining to the very essence of a Torah involvement. That being the case, there's a din in Shulchan Aruch which is strange, and yet at the same time, once one understands it, it proves the very point that we're making. How far Chazal go not to allow the practice of a bad midah. Now, as you know, in the Shulchan Aruch, midas are not really paskind. You'll find very little reference in the Shulchan Aruch to behavior. The Shulchan Aruch deals with those halachas which is halacha psuka, which is clear halacha, and it's the same in all circumstances. Midas are so subtle, it's very difficult to go into and to paskin them specifically, exactly, in a way where it's equal for everybody. The Rambam does paskin certain halachas and midas, but the Shulchan Aruch doesn't. So nowhere does the Shulchan Aruch say also. It doesn't say it's also to be. It's prohibited to be a cynic, a clown. But what he does say in Hilchus Avodas Kechovim in Siman Kuf Mem Zayin Seif He, Mutar Lihisloitzets Bo'elilim. It is permitted to mock, to be mislitzets. Perhaps that mocking is a better word than a cynic. It is permitted to mock idols, avodah zarah. It's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. The difficulty is in the halacha itself. Why does the Torah permit it? Okay, idols are bad, but other things are also bad, and it doesn't say it's mutar li'it leitzet. It doesn't say mutar li'it leitzet b'rashoyim, mutar li'it leitzet b'ivrei aveiro. Doesn't say all the other things that they can be leitzonus about. Only avodah zarah. And the fact that the Shulchan Aruch has to paskin mutar li'it leitzet b'elilim means that this is mutar. Everything else is also. It's also interesting that one sees an obscure reference here to a psak in midas. The Shulchan Aruch takes it absolutely for granted. I gave you one reason why the Shulchan Aruch doesn't paskin midas, because it's not a fixed thing for everybody in every circumstance. Another reason that some people give as to why the Shulchan Aruch doesn't paskin it is because derech eretz kodmo l'Torah, the whole thing is based, there's an assumption that there are midas before you start Shulchan Aruch. And here we see that assumption, that it's understood that nobody would be a late, although he hasn't said it anywhere. It's understood that nobody would mock. That's a midah that we don't like and that nobody practices. What? Yes? Mutzal is late set the elilim. There's an exception. When it comes to idols, you're allowed to mock. Why aren't we worried that we're going to learn from this to become, we're going to get into the habit of mocking? Why aren't we worried that from this we'll get into the, we'll acquire, chas v'sholem, the midah of leitzonus? And if, because elilim are so bad, one's allowed to do it, why isn't one allowed to do it with everything? Why dafke elilim? And that halacha is based on the Gemara in Megillah, where the Gemara actually says, "Omar Rav Nachman, on Daf Kafhei Amud Beis, Kol Leitzanuso Asiro. All Leitzanus is Osur. Bar Me Leitzanuso Da Avodas Kochavim, with the exception of mocking Avodas Kochavim. That's Mutter." So we see, in fact, as we were Medayik in the Shulchan Aruch, that that's in fact the Gemara Mefurish. The reason the Shulchan Aruch doesn't bring the first part of the Maimri is because that's Paskening Midas. Also, Lis Lotzitz, Kol Leitzanuso Asiro, that's a din in Midas, that the Shulchan Aruch doesn't Pasken. But the din Bar Me Leitzanuso Da Avodas Kochavim, that's a halacha in Avodah Zarah. That's a halacha in the dinim of Avodah Zarah. And in the halachas of Avodah Kochavim, the Shulchan Aruch paskens that one is permitted to mock idolatry. But that's all one's permitted to mock. That very concept is also existent in Shabbos HaGodol, in this time of the year. Because at this time, in the first Pesach and Pesach Mitzrayim, Am Yisrael was instructed through Moshe, Mishchu Kulochem Tzoyim. Each family had to find themselves the sheep, and they had to take the sheep and set it aside and go through the whole business of the Korban Pesach, eventually to shecht it and to put the blood on their doorposts, and eventually to use it on the Seder night as their Korban Pesach. Says the Medrash, B'sho'o she'omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe Lishchot HaPosach. When the Ribbono Shel Olam said to Moshe that he must shecht the Pesach, Amalei Moshe, Moshe said to him, Ribbono Olam, how do I go? It's not feasible to do such a thing. Don't you know that sheep is the thing that is worshipped? It's the Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim, of the Egyptians. Are you asking Klal Yisrael now to take the idol, the god of the Egyptians, and shecht it in front of the Egyptians? Surely you're not asking that. Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, Chayecho ein Yisrael yoytzin mikan ad sheyishkutu Elohim Mitzrayim le'eneihem. By your life, Yisrael are not getting out of here until they shecht the idols of Mitzrayim in front of their eyes. She'odi Elohim she'en Elohe ha'akum klum. I shall advise them, I shall inform them this way, that the gods of Avodah Zarah are nothing. See? So part of the whole thing of the first Korban Pesach in Pesach Mitzrayim, part of it was Letzanusa da Avodah Zarah, making a mockery of Avodah Zarah, taking their idols, taking their gods, and shechting them, subjecting them to an Avodah Hashem, killing them. Let them see that there's nothing in it at all. There's gonit nidgonit. The Letzanusa da Avodah Kechavim, the mocking of idolatry. Part of that was inherent in the mitzvah that was given at this time so many thousands of years ago. So we see right from there, through to the Gemara and to the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch, that Leitzomus, that somehow the halacha doesn't see the mocking of Avodah Zarah as being part of the middle of Leitzomus. Why not? And for that we need to understand a little bit more about the middle of Leitzomus, what this mocking, this characteristic of mocking is and what it means. And also we need to understand a little bit more about idolatry. The Mesillas Yeshorim speaks about the dangers and the damage caused by Leitzonus. And he says in Perek Hei Vesire Koshi Halotzoin V'Hashchososoi Harabo, and you will see the severity of Lotzoin, of Leitzonus, and its tremendous destructive capabilities. Ki kemoi hamogein hamoshuach b'shemen, the same as a shield smeared with oil, asher yashmit v'yapil me'olov hachitzim, which deviates and causes to fall the arrows, umashlichim la'oretz, and throws them down to the ground, v'lo yaniach yisum she'agir el gufo odom, and don't allow these arrows to reach the body of the human being. They used to oil their shields, and not only were the shields a protection in the sense that there was this body of hide or wood or whatever they were made from in front of the person, but in addition to that they were also oiled, and the arrows used to just slide down them. They used to just slide right off the shields. Kena lotzin, exactly the same is lotzin bifnei atoichocho v'hamardus, exactly the same is lotzin in front of rebuke and discipline. It makes a person impervious to any form of techocha or to any form of discipline. Ki beleitzonus echod uvischoik katon, because with one act of leitzonus or one joke, yapil ha'odo me'olov, a person can cause to fall from him ribui godul min his odorus v'hispa'alus, a tremendous amount of awakening and emotional feeling, ma'ashalev mis'oirer u'mispa'al ba'atzmoy, that which the heart would awaken and be moved itself, midei ra'oisei o'shomoy inyonim, as it hears or sees matters, shi'ya'iruhu el'acheshbun v'apishbush b'mayasim, which might move him to analysis, to self-analysis, and to improving himself. And through the power of leitzonus, he will make all that fall to the ground, and it will make no impression in him whatever. Amazing statement. The enemy to education, says the Masechta Shishorim, is leitzonus. That's what it is. Not laziness, not weak minds, not lack of background, not lack of knowledge, not lack of intelligence. No, leitzonus. Because as long as there's not leitzonus, it's possible to move a man, it's possible to excite him, it's possible to make him review himself, it's possible to make him catch a glimpse of new vistas and have an ambition to drive himself towards them. But one little leitzonus, or one schwik, one jerk, one leitzonus, can kill all that completely, and can be mapulate outside, can make it fall to the ground and lose all its meaning. Until lo yaseh boi roshin klal, it will leave him without any impression whatever. Makes no difference who he's listening to. He can be listening to Moshe Rabbeinu at the foot of Mount Sinai, and one little bit of leitzonus would cause the words of Moshe Rabbeinu to be like water off a duck's back, or using his image, like swords off an oil, like arrows off an oil shield. It's not because the matters which are being put to the man are weak and they're not powerful. And it's not because the man is incapable of understanding that he's lacking in intellect. It's because of the power of leitzonus, which destroys all matters of musar and yira, of ethics and of fear of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's the piece of Mesillas Yesharim, the power of leitzonus, how it can destroy. What is leitzonus? The Share Tshuva says in Share Shlishi Kuf Mem Ches an amazing pshat which nobody else takes on a posuk in Mishlei chapter Kav Zayin. The posuk is Metzarif LaKesef V'Chur LaZohov. A silversmith will determine the purity of silver. A goldsmith will determine the purity of gold. In other words, if you have silver and you want to know how pure it is, you'll take it to a silver assayer. And a gold assayer you will take gold to. The ish, and the man, lefi mahalaloi, by his praise. The way everybody learns pshat is you have to check and see how society, what people say about him. According to what people say about him, there you will know what kind of a man he is. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, Perush is. And that pshat has always bothered me, by the way. Is that really an accurate measure of a man's status? What people say about him? Yes, where there's smoke, there's fire, all that kind of thing. One can't ignore what people say about people. Their reputations are very important. It's on the basis of a reputation that one gets to know a stranger. But is that the determinant, the same as an assayer determines the purity of gold or silver in a piece of metal? Is it as accurate to go by what people say about a human being? So Rabbeinu Yonah gives another pshat, Perushu. Ma'alois ha'odom lefi ma'ashi yahala. The attributes of a person can be measured by who he praises. That's how you test the man. Not who praises him, that's not important. Who does he praise? Who are his images? Who are his idols? Then you can know exactly who it is. Imu meshabeach ha'maisim ha'toivim, if he praises good deeds, v'hechochomim, And he praises Chachomim, wise people, Tamidei Chachomim, Ve'at Tzadikim, Teida Uvochanta, you can know and determine, Ki Ish Tovu, that he's a good man. V'Shoresh HaTzedek Nimtza Boy. And there are roots of Tzidkus, there are roots of righteousness in such a man. Ki Lo Yimtzu Es Libo Rak L'Shabeach Es Atzoy V'Atzoyvim Tomid B'chol Dvorov. Because you always find, it's not just that once he's talked nicely about a tzaddik, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about a man, ki lo yimtso es libo, who doesn't find it within his heart, rak l'shabeach es atoy v'atoy v'in tomid, only to praise good and good people, b'chol dvorov, in all his words, u'legano yis es ha'aveiro yis u'lehavzo yis ba'alehen, and to talk degradingly about misdeeds, and to disgrace the performers of those misdeeds, the perpetrators of them, Mibli mois bara avochu b'toiv, only despising wickedness and choosing good. Ve'im yitachen ki yesh b'yoda avonis nistorim. Doesn't mean that he's never done an avera. Maybe he's done an avera. Avo me'oyhave ha-tzedek hu, but he is a lover of tzedek. Ve'loi shoyresh b'vechiro, and he has a root of that in his own free choice. His own choice would be for tzedek. Sometimes the Yetzirah gets better of him and he does an avera. But in essence he's a fine man. In essence he's a tzaddik. V'meshabeach ma'aseh megunim, a person who praises ugly actions, or mehalel rishoyim, or he praises wicked people, who ha'rosho ha'gomur, is a complete rosho, v'mechalel is avodas Hashem Yisborach, and is mechalel the service of the Ribbono Shel Olam. I don't know if you appreciate the ramifications of what Rabbeinu Yonah is saying here. In its most coarse form, the damage done to a person, even subconsciously, never mind consciously, when he looks at a movie series like, what do they call it, Texas, what do they call that, the Dallas, which is designed to be Meshabeach Es Haroim, exactly with the Loshon, it's as if they took the Loshon out of Rabbeinu Yonah, it's designed to be Meshabeach Maisim Megunim, and to be Mehalel Rishoy, to praise wicked actions, and to praise Rishoy, that's what it's there for, and to create that atmosphere in your home, that's what it's designed for, to make heroes out of Rishoy, that's what it is. And we turn it on in our homes and we allow it to be in our homes. And it affects us. We start identifying because that stuff is powerful. It's done with all the money behind it, with all the technique behind it. If one wants to know how to move people, if one wants to know how to shake people, one takes lessons from Hollywood. There aren't many educators that know how to affect people as subtly, as deeply, and as subconsciously as they know in Hollywood. Hollywood is not just an entertainment industry. There's deep psychology there, there's deep understanding of people there. They know how to twist the whole world around their little fingers and to change people's value systems by what they produce. And we go along with it, and we accept it. That's at its coarsest. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, you can talk now about a man who keeps Shabbos, who keeps kashrus, who keeps taras and mishpocha, who goes to a shir every day, who comes to the 6 o'clock minyan, not the 7 o'clock minyan, and he learns before 6 o'clock and he learns after 6 o'clock, a tzaddik. But he's impressed with Dallas. Says the Rabbeinu Yonah, hu harosho hagomer, a complete rosho. You have another individual, he doesn't know what, he came out of this country as a little child, his parents couldn't keep Shabbos, didn't keep Shabbos, he never saw Shabbos. What does he know? He doesn't keep Shabbos, doesn't keep kashrus, nothing. But whenever he speaks, he talks wonderfully about tzaddikim, about chachomim, about b'nai Torah. It's all you hear out of him. When he talks about these funny people, and when he talks about the business magnates that are at each other's throats, murdering one another, stealing from one another, not impressed. Always talking about tzaddikim and tamidei chachomim. He, says the Rabbeinu Yonah, is me'oyhave hatzedeku, v'hu me'adas mechabdei Hashem. He is a lover of righteousness and part of the community of mechabdei Hashem. Just look how way off we are. We test people by what they do. Rabbeinu Yonah says, don't do that. People can act. People can do things because they want to impress you. They know you're judging them by what they do, so they do what you want to see them do. That's all. The whole thing is a farce. If you really want to know what a person is, listen to his talk and see who he talks highly about. Who are his role images? Who are his heroes? And then you'll begin to know who the mensch is, what kind of human being he is. Then you'll know for sure what human being is. Don't be taken in by just the actions. Don't be taken in by the exterior manifestations. If you want to get to the subconscious, see who he is mahalil, who he praises, what kind of actions his mishabeach. And when one starts looking at people like this, and one starts understanding people like this, one can be shocked out of one's wits. All you have to do is keep your ear open to conversation around and about you, even inside this Beis HaMedrash, and you can be shocked out of your wits what you sometimes hear people saying in an unguarded moment. The kind of things that they talk admiringly about, and the kind of things that they talk disparagingly about. But that describes me, who ha'odam, who is the human being? What's the latz? What's the latz? When we're talking about being mishabeach somebody, being machshiv him, giving him chashivus, what does that mean? Really, what it means is having the ability to be mevatel oneself klapov, to see oneself as insignificant vis-a-vis the person that one is being machshiv, the person that one is honoring and showing importance to. What is the latz? The Pasuk says in Mishlei, chapter 10, Al toichach leitz pen yisno eko. Don't give musa to a leitz. So we see already the Mesillas Yeshorim's theory being expressed in the words of Shlomo HaMelech in Mishlei. Don't even give him musa. The Mesillas Yeshorim explained that the musa won't be effective if you give it to a leitz. He has an oil shield against it. It won't penetrate him. No matter how moving it is, no matter how heart-rending it is, it will have absolutely no effect on him. Mishnah goes further than that and says, it's an issur. Al teichach leitz pen yisnoecha. Don't give him musa. Because he'll hate you for it. It won't change him, and he'll hate you for it. Teichach lechocha. Give a wise person musa, ve'ye'ehoveka, and he will love you for it. This pasuk is also tremendous. And firstly, this, by the way, that's also brought by the Gemara Lahaloche. And the Poskim bring it. The Gemara says in Yevamos Daf Samach Hei, Oma Rabbi Ilo Mishum Rabbi Elozeb Rabbi Shimon, Keshem Shemitzvo Al Odom Loima Dovar Hanishma, Kach Mitzvo Al Odom Sheloi Loima Dovar Sheina Nishma. In the same way as it is a mitzvah to say something that will be heard, so it is a mitzvah not to say something which will not be heard. If you know that the musar is not going to be taken, it's a mitzvah not to say it. Rabbi Abba Meir Chayva, Rabbi Abba say you're obliged not to say it. Not that you've done a mitzvah if you don't say it, but if you want to, you can say it. No, it's just Chayva. You've got not to say it. You've got to hold yourself back. Shenema, Al Teichach Leitz Pen Yisnoecho, Hoicheach Lechochem Ve'yehevecho. He brings the same posuk of Al Teichach Leitz, but it's actually an issu. One doesn't give musa to a leitz. What do we see here? Number one, we see the contrast between leitz and chochem. The leitz is the opposite of a chochem. Chochem is a wise person. The leitz is the opposite. We've got a little bit of this in the Haggadah. We've got the chochem, and what comes after the chochem? Not the tipesh or the tam, the rosha, the contrasts, which also ties together, although we won't go into this at the moment, with something that Rav Ezrachi said here last week, the relationship between a person's midas and his wisdom in Torah, that the two are connected. The opposite of a chochem is a rosha. A person is a rosha can't be a chochem. A person is a chochem can't be a rosha. The opposite of a leitz is a chochem. The opposite of a chochem is a leitz. Says the Gro, Chocheach lechochem, chochem hu batoira. A chochem means a chochem in Torah, Talmid chochem. Not a chochem in matters of the world, because in matters of the world, in secular learning, you can have a chochem who is a leitz. There it's possible. You can have a wise person who is a leitz. You can't have it in Torah. You'll see in a moment why not. So the Gro Chacham Ubatayra, it's not talking about wisdom, intellectual wisdom, it's talking about Chachma Satayra. Only there do we find that it's opposite that you can't. Vu Hefech Aletzim, that is opposite to the lakes. So the Gro, an amazing Yisoid. Don't explain this and understand this, that Leitzonus is opposite to wisdom. Leitzonus is opposite to the wisdom of Torah. Kamosha Amru, and then he brings a raya which we need to understand. Shnayim Shiyoshvin Ve'im Beneim Divrei Torah. It says in Pirkei Avos in the third parak, two people who are sitting and there is not Divrei Torah between them. Hareze Moshav Leitzim. This is a gathering of Leitzim. That's his proof. So you see the Torah is opposite of Leitzonus. The two people are sitting and there's no Torah, therefore it's Leitzonus. It must be one or the other. There's nothing in the middle. You can't be a Ben Torah and a Leitz. And if you're a Leitz, you can't in Torah, therefore it's a Moshav Leitz. But we need to understand the Pshat in that Mishnah in order to understand this Yesod of the Vilna Gaon. Vilna Gaon is telling us the opposite of Leitz is a Chochem B'Torah. That the wisdom of Torah is opposite to Leitzonus. Reb Chaim Volozhiner deduces in that Mishnah, Shnayim Sheyoshvin Ve'ein Beineihim Divrei Torah. Two people are sitting and there is no Divrei Torah between them. What does that imply? It's between them that there's no Divrei Torah, but they're both learning. They're both sitting and learning. They're both, each one sitting to be safe with them, learning. The other one sitting in his learning. Ein Beineihim Divrei Torah. And sometimes you see, even in Johannesburg, the disease has struck, where you can go to a wedding or to a Sheva Brochus, and you'll see a Talmid Chochem sitting there, listen, while everybody else is speaking, and he's busy learning, not to waste a minute. Says the Chaim Volozhiner, Moshav Leitzim. That's a Leitz, that's not a Talmid Chochem. In their name, he says, each one is busy learning, each one is thinking in Torah, but he can't come out with it. He can't communicate it with his friend, he can't talk about it. Why is that Leitzonus? Because he's not interested in what the other person has to say. He's only interested in what he has to say. That's why two people can't communicate. When each one wants to talk, then you can't have communication. When both want to listen, then you can have communication. It can take a bit of time. The one will say to the other, no, maybe you've got something to teach me. The other one will say, me teach you? How can I? Please, you teach me. And the other will say, what can I teach you? Who am I? And he'll say, but eventually it will come, the Torah will come and it will start. But where each one doesn't want to hear, where each one thinks, well, what can he teach me? And the other one thinks, what can he teach me? Then nothing starts. Each one sits and looks in his own sofa and he learns on his own. That's Leitzonus. You mock the other person. Nothing is more important than you. Nothing has any value but you. You have nothing to learn from anybody but yourself. Now, if we understand that Reb Chaim Volozhiner, and don't forget that Reb Chaim Volozhiner was a Talmid of the Vilna Gaon. So if Reb Chaim Volozhiner learned the Pshat in the Mishnah like that, that certainly went along with the system of learning of the Vilna Gaon himself. So what are we saying now? If that's the Mishnah from which the Vilna Gaon brings his proof, that Leitzonus and Torah are opposite, what kind of Torah is opposite to Leitzonus? The Torah where you're able to listen to somebody else. The Torah where you're able to be mevatel yourself to somebody else. We've been talking over Shabbos, both on the Ladies' Shul and the Chalashudas again, about the difficulty that people have in hearing. That people don't hear correctly. You say something, and you ask them to repeat it. It's an exercise which I would like everybody in the Beis Medrash to start practicing. When you say something to somebody, ask him to repeat it. Even if you're talking, nothing important. Even if he asks you the time, and you say 22 and a half minutes past 11, ask him afterwards, what did I say, what was the time? Very often you'll say, you said about 20 past 11. He'll answer. And then you must say, no, that's not what I said. I said 22 and a half minutes past 11. And you will be shocked at how seldom people will remember and be able to repeat to you what you said. Why is it? Why aren't we able to do it? The area in which Torah differs from any other secular knowledge, and that's the point which the Vilna Gaon is making here, that Leitzonus is opposite to Chochmah in Torah, not out of Torah. The area in which it differs is exactly in this area. Secular learning, each generation goes further than the generation before. That's how it is. There's no Kabbalah, it's It's not that you receive something from an earlier generation. Each generation takes what they learned, what the previous generation learned, and they extend it into new areas. They take it further, which breeds in the generation an arrogance over its elders. It must do. A feeling that I know more than my grandparents knew. What did they know about computers? Where did they travel to? What did they understand? How many languages could they speak? Did they have the opportunities of education that I have? Of course they never, they were simple folk. What can one expect of them? That's the attitude which develops in one. In Torah it's fakir. In Torah it's my parents, my grandparents, my rabbeim, and my rabbeim's rabbeim were much closer to the source than I was. I could learn from my rabbi, wonderful schus, but look who he learned from. And look who his rabbi learned from. Think of it. No. My rabbi sat at the feet of Reb Shimon Shkop and was able to learn from Reb Shimon. It's an unbelievable thing when you think of it. And who did Reb Shimon sit by? Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. And who did Reb Chaim Soloveitchik sit by? And so with each generation one goes back, the amazement at who, and it's not many generations ago, that's two generations ago. And if you go back 3, 4, 5, back to the Vilna Gaon and earlier, who these people sat by and who they learned by. Is it possible for me, if I learned day and night, and if I was 10 times as clever as my Rosh Hashiva, is it possible for me to understand one key who's there, one little tiny bit of what he understands? Not because I'm a worse student than he is, but just look at the teachers, and he would be the first to admit it. Nebuch, he used to say, my Talmidim, who have they got to learn from me? Nebuch. You know who I learned by? And Reb Shimon used to say the same. And so it would go back. Each one feeling that their Rabbeim compared to themselves, a completely different concept. Chazal say, if the earlier ones were like angels, we're like human beings. If the earlier ones were like human beings, we're like donkeys. And not Akrei Pinchas Ben Yoy's donkey. You could do all sorts of interesting things. Just like ordinary donkeys from the place. That's who we are. What does that mean? That means that in one generation, and this has been throughout the ages, the distinction is qualitative, not just quantitative. It's not just that they know more. It's like the difference between an angel and a man, between a man and a donkey. That's the difference between us and one generation back. Never mind 2, 3, 4, 5 generations back. Can we understand? We go back to the time of the early Achronim, when we go back to the time of the Rishonim, the Amiroim, the Tanoim, the Goyim, do we know what we're talking about? It's completely beyond us to have a picture in our wildest imaginations of what these people were. So what does it imbue us with? Just a feeling of total modesty and humility, and if anything, a feeling of inadequacy, of Mosai Agiu, Masai Lamasai Avosai. When is it shaykh that maybe we can catch up just with one generation before us? That's the feeling that it instills in us. And that midah, that characteristic of his battles, of being able to feel oneself nothing, klape one's teachers, is what enables one to hear correctly. As long as one sits there filled with one's own self sense of self-importance, and one listens to a teacher merely to figure out how much of what he says one can agree with, and how much one has to reject because one cannot agree with it, if that's the way one listens, what possibility is there of understanding what the man is talking about? It's not shaykh. And this goes even to small things. We learned the Vilna Gaon in the beginning of Bishle, where any chokhmah, anything you're about to study, check who says it. If he's a worthwhile mechaber, if he's a worthwhile author, study it carefully. And if he's not, don't waste time with it altogether, don't start. If you're asking somebody the time, check that it's somebody who knows the time. Don't ask somebody who doesn't have a decent watch, because you might as well guess the time, you'll be about as close. And if it is somebody who has an accurate watch, then listen carefully and get it right. And if it's not important for you to know the exact time, then again, why start in the first place? Something as unimportant as asking the time. How much more so when one asks somebody their opinion about something? If you value the person's opinion, good, one must be in this battle for them. One has to sit and listen with his battles, with a feeling of, in this matter, he has something which I don't have. And I will accept. I want to hear every word he says, and I want to get it accurately, because in this matter he's a chochem. Whereas if one goes asking an etzah, believing that really I know more than him, why am I asking him to hear another opinion? All sorts of reasons. If that's how one listens, is there any chance that one's going to get it right? It's not possible. Leitzonis, I translated in the beginning, as somebody who cheapens things. What does it mean to cheapen something? If there's a shortage of a certain commodity, the price goes up. When there's a lot of it, the price comes down. When there's a shortage of a commodity in chokhmah, in wisdom, its value goes up. But when there's an excess, its value goes down. So if I go to a shir and I listen to a Talmid Chacham giving the shir in the belief that what he has to say I can't learn from anybody else, there's nobody else who has the ability to teach me that which I've come to learn from him, that's one kind of listening. If I go and I think, you know, really I know as much as him and I could give the shir as well as him, but let's hear. Or I think anybody could say the same, it doesn't really matter. What am I doing? Ruining the value of it. It ceases to be something which is unique and rare, and it becomes something which is oversupplied. And it becomes cheap. What does the late do? You come to a late and you say, ah, you know what? I've just heard a shir, you would go out of your mind. I've never heard anything like it. And he says, tell me, what did you hear? And you tell him over the shir, he says, I've heard it 10 times before. Everybody says that. What are you getting so excited about? Finished. It's gone. That's the end of it. He hasn't criticized it. He didn't say it was wrong. He didn't say it was a bad shir. He just ruined its value. He ruined its uniqueness. He ruined its specialness and he ruined its rarity. And it immediately deflates its value in your eyes. That's the less. Two people are sitting and they don't share their Torah with one another. Why? What it means is that their opinions are more important to them than the emes. Because what will happen if you share it with somebody else? You might land up teaching him something he didn't know. But okay. You might land up learning something you didn't know. And the worst that can happen is that you'll teach him something that he didn't know. That's the worst. Better than that is that you'll learn something that you didn't know. And still better than that is that you will learn that something that you thought was right is not right. Through discussion and through argument, he'll pick a hole in it, he'll find something wrong with it. And that's very often what inhibits one from coming out with it. One rather wants to keep it to oneself. That's the Leitz. And the Leitz is the person whose own Torah is more important to him than the MS. He's not mevatel himself to the truth. He's not mevatel himself to what has gone before, to what needs to be known, what needs to be understood. No. All he's interested in is knowing it and having something himself which somebody else doesn't have. And that, says the Vilna Gaon, is Hefech HaTorah. That's the opposite of Torah. And it's the opposite, and Leitzonus, and Torah is the opposite of Leitzonus. Chochom uba Torah, v'hu Hefech HaLeitz. A Chochom is in Torah, and that's opposite to the Leitz. K'mo she'omru, sh'naim she'yoshvin ve'im b'neim divrei Torah, harei ze Moshe v'leitzim. Two people who are sitting and there's not Torah between them, they keep their Torah to themselves. That's the Moshe Leitzin. Those are people who are unable to appreciate the value of one another and to be mevatel themselves to the MS and to one another if necessary, for the sake of reaching the MS. That's what's important. So, using the definition of Rabbeinu Yoino, Ma'alois ha'odom lefi mashi yahalu. The attributes of a person can be measured by who and what he praises. Who does the late praise? Only himself. Who does the late value? Only himself. You will never find the late praising anything that isn't himself. You will never find the late praising something which will require him to be mevatel himself to something else or to someone else. On the contrary, whenever he's getting to a point that he's about to find himself having to be mevatel himself, he'll come out with a joke. He'll come out with one of these statements that immediately brings everything down to a terribly flat surface. It's a favorite nusach of the psychologists. Of everything worthwhile in life, you'll hear them say, it's nothing but. This is nothing but a basic sex drive. This is nothing but a power drive. This is nothing but. Everything is nothing but. Simply to bring down aspects of godliness in the human being to the most common basic animal levels and to make nothing of it. That's Leitzonus. Instead of understanding the uniqueness of people and the uniqueness of the things that drive them, each one in his own area, everything brought down to its lowest common denominator. That's Leitzonus. There's a terrible danger with late songs. We've seen now that it's possible to take something which has kedusha, to take something which is terribly holy, which is terribly special, and which is genuinely rare, and to make late songs of it, and to reduce it to nothing. A person can come along and with a beautiful 1 carat, blue white diamond, flawless. And he shows it to his friend. He says, "Have you ever seen a stone like this?" He says, "Come on, what's the difference between that and a zakein? It's nothing. Well, a piece of stone, because people have decided it should have value. You attach value to it. Well, what's valuable about it?" And he ruins it for them. Completely ruins it. But it is a diamond. It doesn't matter. But once people have introduced the thought that it's common, that there's nothing special about it, it reduces the value to some extent, even in the mind of the person who owns it. It's possible with leitzonos to destroy truly valuable things. Likewise, it is possibly to build into chashivus things that have no value at all. That's also possible. One can take absolutely nothing, and by building it up into something unique and special and different, one can give it chashivus, one can give it importance. The technique followed by most advertising agencies. In this country, it's not permitted for one company to comment in his advertising on the products of another company. But in America, it is. And as long as what you say is true. In America, it's possible for a company to advertise Netzonus bittle of the other man's products and building up his own, even if his own is inferior. One can do it. One can do all sorts of amazing tricks with Netzonus and Schwach. Praising and Netzonus can achieve all the most amazing results. One can build a nobody into a godel, and one can make a nothing of a godel, and one can make a nothing of a godel. One can pull somebody down to nothing, and one can build somebody up from nothing. That's the power of leitzonus and schwach. Or what Rabbi Yitzchak Huttner calls hilul and chilul. Hilul is praise and chilul is profanity. He talks about the hilul which can be developed out of chilul and the chilul that can be made out of hilul. Just a very small difference in spelling, and also a very small difference in concept. And on this point, Rabbi Yitzchak Huttner describes the essence of Avodah Zarah in a way which explains a piece of Shulchan Aruch with which we opened most beautifully. What is Avodah Zarah? Avodah Zarah takes an idol. Naim lohem v'lo yiru, as naim lohem v'lo yishmo, af lohem v'lo yirichu. As eyes that can't see, ears that can't hear, a nose that can't smell, takes an idol that has no power even to move, to do anything. It has less ability than a stone, or the same ability as a stone, less ability than the most primitive of all animals. There is nothing more impotent than an idol. Nothing. And it's built into an avodah. To the extent where people come and bow down before it and prostrate themselves before it, total bitul atzmi, to something which is absolutely nothing. That's a marketing job. To take an elul, to take an idol which has no power whatever, and build it into a god, one has to learn from there how susceptible we are to marketing techniques. The extent to which a person can find himself worshipping something which isn't worthy of being spat on, never mind worship. And contrarywise, how easy it is for a person to spit on something which is worthy of worship. Because our koyach havchona, our ability to discern, is so unused and unexercised and unrefined. We don't know how to do it. We rely on what people say, we rely on what people do, we rely on what others do. We rely on the atmosphere that's created. Avodah Zarah takes a sheker, takes a lie, and makes an avodah out of it. Leitzonus takes avodah, takes worship, and makes a lie out of it. So Leitzonus and Avodah Zarah are opposites. Exactly the opposite. Avodah Zarah takes absolutely nothing, something negative, something meaningless, and builds it into something great. And Leitzonus takes something great and smashes it down into something meaningless. The only way to really neutralize Avodah Zarah is to fight it with Leitzonus. There's no other way you can fight it except with Leitzonus. That's the ultimate destruction of Avodah Zarah. To take the Avodah, which was made out of a lie, and fuel Leitzonus to make a lie out of that Avodah, which brings it back to its right perspective, exactly. That which they took, which was nothing to start with, and have built it into an Avodah, we take that Avodah and with Leitzonus we break it back down to the shekel with which it started. That's the only way we can neutralize it, in fact. It comes out on the basis of that, but there's something very unique about the Leitzonus, about the mockery of Avodah Zarah. All other mockery is negative. You're taking something which has some value and you're reducing it. That we're not allowed to do. To reduce something that has value, even if it's the Shem Shemayim, even if by doing it we can gain all sorts of things, and the Torah can gain all sorts of things, you won't find in the Shulchan Aruch anywhere mutar lislotzeit, that you're allowed to be mislotzeit, that you're allowed to be a late, excepting here, because in Avodah Zarah it's a positive action, it's not a negative action. Because of the lie on which Avodah Zarah is based, because of the sheker on which Avodah Zarah is based, by taking Leitzonus and fighting that sheker with Leitzonus, one turns the thing upside down and totally neutralizes it. And all we're doing is, in fact, by using Leitzonus against Avodah Zarah, we are simply doing, making an Avodah out of things that need to be made. We're simply building the Ribono Shel back into the position in which he needs to be. It's not that we're doing anything which is negative at all. Well, that one understands perhaps the communication that went on between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Ribbono Shel Olam. When the Ribbono Shel Olam told Moshe to destroy the Pesach, Omele Moshe, Ribbono Olam Adavar Azeh Echem Yochel Lasis, Yata Yudea Sha'atzoin Elohein Shel Mitzrayim Hem? How can I do this? Don't you know that the flock, the sheep, are the Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim? And when I learned this midrash the first time, I had a very big kasha here. Moshe is not criticized as having a lack of emunah, as a lack of trust here. How can he say such a thing? The Ribbono Shel Olam, who is doing such miracles and has done such miracles, 9 of the plagues have already taken place. What does Moshe think, that the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to let harm come to the Bnei Israel because they are killing the sheep of the Mitzrim? How can Moshe talk to the Ribbono Shel Olam like this? Even before the Nisim and Niflos, never mind after the Nisim and Niflos, what is he worried about? The Ribbono Shel Olam turned water into blood and brought the frogs and out everything and brought Mitzrayim to their knees 9 times already, and promises that the 10th time they're really going to come to their knees. Says Moshe, how can we start with their sheep? Don't you know that they worship their sheep? That's not what Moshe was asking. Moshe is asking a halacha. Is it right for us to mock their idols? There are other ways of doing it, Ribbono Shel Olam. Surely not. Surely we shouldn't teach Am Yisrael that the way to promote yourself is to belittle others. Surely we shouldn't take that which is holy to others and destroy it and teach Bnei Yisrael that that's how we establish ourselves. That's surely not the way to do it. Surely we can find more positive ways of doing it. Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chayecho in Yisrael Yotzi Mikan Ad Sheyishchutu Elohei Mitzrayim Le'eneihem. By your life, Yisrael will not come out of here until they shecht the sheep in front of their eyes. She'odia lohem she'ein Elohei ha'akrum klum. So that I will teach them that the gods of the idols are nothing. It is only through the Leitzonus, through taking their idols and making nothing of them, that they will realize all in all that idolatry is nothing. That's the only way that the sheker can actually be exposed, and the Avodah Zarah, that service which is strange to us, can be completely neutralized. In fact, the previous Medrash mentions that there was a touch of the effects of that Avodah Zarah actually touched the Bnei Yisrael as well. They were also affected by this worship of the sheep before this time. And the part of the purpose was not just to teach the Mitzrim, the Egyptians, that there was nothing in this Avodah, but also to uproot it completely from within the Jewish people themselves. Because Avodah Zarah has a very strange effect on people. This kind of building nonsense into big things affects one. And you'll say, but it doesn't. And I'll say, but it does. You'll say, Dallas, even if you look at it, nobody really believes it. Nobody really believes it. You want to see when a fine Talmid Chochem, a Meshulach, or a Rosh Yeshiva walks into a man's office to discuss a donation for his yeshiva with him, and see when a grobber gornit, but a millionaire competitor or colleague, walks into his office. See the difference in behavior. And then tell me that we're not affected by the Avodah Zarah. And you'll say to the man afterwards, you know, the Rosh Yeshiva walked in and he didn't stand up. This man walked in and you stood up. He said, I know he's a gornit. I know he's nothing. So why did you create this aura around him? And somebody else sees it. Your secretary sees the way you treat him. Your colleagues see the way you treat him. And it has a chain reaction. And so they carry on. When he comes out of your office, you must see the way they see him to the door. And when he comes in again tomorrow, you must see the way they greet him, because they saw the way you treated him. And then a new colleague walks in tomorrow and sees the way your secretary's secretary treats the man. And he starts it also. And then it affects the man who doesn't even have anything to do with your business. It's not a stranger who sees the way your office treats this individual. And he's in the same shul as this man, or the same club. And all of a sudden he's getting aliyahs all the time. What's happened? Of course it affects us. We're affected all the time. Avodah Zarah has such an insidious effect on people. Taking nothing and building it up into something tremendous, into something very great. We were talking at our Shabbos table about Sforim. Sometimes Sforim which are worthless. Sforim which are not even worth the paper that they're printed on, because the paper's already been written on, you can't reuse the paper. Not even worth the paper anymore. And somehow it gets, people build it up. And you can have Sforim, old Sforim, of Gedolei Yisrael. Nobody knows about, nobody hears about. If you quote it, people shake their heads, they don't know what you're talking about. What is it? We decide. On the lowest level of society, it is decided who is Choshuv and what is Choshuv. Who is important and what is important. On the lowest level of society. And that sets the whole process in motion. And likewise, it's possible to have something that is great and outstanding. As I said, you can have a great Rosh Yeshiva that walks in, and it's not there. And people say, but surely if you're such a great person, it should be, the effect should be felt. Yeah, the effect should be felt, but you need some kind of atmosphere, some kind of discerning atmosphere in order for the effect to be felt. You can't have effect felt where there's no atmosphere at all. In an environment of Avodah Zarah, you can't have chashivas given to Torah, you can't have importance given to Torah and to Bnei Torah. Where there's an environment of discernment, where people are machshiv that which is truly important, and they're mevatel that which needs to be mevutel, then it's a different thing, then you can have it. We've spoken before about the placing of the bracha of Hashem Nosan Nasech Vibinu Lavchin Ben Yom Vein Loila, and the meaning of that bracha, the power to discern between day and night even, is an ability that we're losing. We might still be able to discern between midday and midnight, but as it becomes a little bit dusky, or when it's close to dawn, our ability becomes very hazy and we're not quite sure when it's night and when it's day. And so it is with all the things that we need to discern. Rabbeinu Yonah says the essential quality of a human being is measured by his koyach havchona, the people he praises and the people he's mevatel. There you'll see who he is, who he stands up for and who he remains seated for, who he greets with a nice open hello and who he greets with a grunt, who he has a good word about, who he doesn't. And when you see a consistent pattern, then you can know who the man is. It's by his koach havchon, it's by his ability to distinguish, not on the basis of what society is distinguishing, but on his own unique understanding of situations. That is the factor that is mavchin between people, that decides who is a person, she'at tzedek beliboy, who has deep in his heart a feeling of righteousness and an ahavas tzedek, a love of justice, and is part of the adas mechabdei Hashem, of the community of those who honor the Ribbono Shel Olam, and who it is that despite what actions they do, if chas v'sholem there are people who lack the havchona and praise and give honor to things which are not worthy of that praise and honor, who are the rishoyim gemurim, the people that we need to keep away from, and the people that we need to keep a distance from. The tzonus is also to find
to promote oneself through the diminishment of the stature of others, chas v'shalom. There's only one exception. That's the case of Avodah Zorah.